Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Good evening, and I welcome Harry Siegel, columnist for the New York Daily News and the op-ed editor at the Daily Beast, to help me understand the results of Election Day 2021 for New York City, Manhattan, the critical city that must succeed in the recovery of the pandemic. For New York State, the dominant Empire State, but its relationship to New Jersey, Connecticut, and the whole East Coast, and also moving forward, what this means for the budget in Washington, because this region always gains a lot of attention out of Washington. The results, do we now have leadership starting 2022 that is on speaking terms and negotiating with Washington for the money that New York needs for recovery? New York is a tough town, but it's badly damaged by the pandemic and the retreat from the storefronts and the residents that has been part of the larger story in the nation, but never more so than in Manhattan. Harry, a very good evening to you. First, Eric Adams, the new mayor-elect of New York. He is a man of the NYPD. And yet he is also a man who celebrated his victory at what you tell me is a very popular Greenwich Village performance and entertainment center called Zero Bond. Why did Mr. Adams, celebrating his victory, all these votes, overwhelming success, go to Zero Bond to speak to what looked to be extremely well-off people? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. So Zero Bond is a members club in the village, that is a sort of hip, elite place. Tom Brady is a member, for instance, Kim Kardashian, and it's meant, they say, to have the feel of a rarefied dinner party. And Eric Adams, who's a, Brooklyn kid made good, is somebody who takes a lot of pride in presenting himself as a man of the people. He said, we're going to City Hall. I am you. This is a movement for those of us who have been here. And also really likes to, be someone who can play with the elites, if you will, and is comfortable in those circles. And vacationing abroad, and suddenly has the platform and the status to really be doing that. And on this night, celebrating a win that he's dreamed of for decades, and being overwhelmingly elected mayor in New York, in some ways, I think he was trying to combine those worlds. So this is a guy who, Mayor Mike Bloomberg really likes and Mayor Bill de Blasio really likes. So at the moment, prior to having actual power, he's straddling, rhetorically very, very well an awful lot of things. And I think bringing parts of his movement and working day New Yorkers and guys like him with rough hands from the jobs they've done to a place like that was a symbol for him of what he's accomplished. When this stops just being rhetoric and the rubber hits the road in January, we'll see what all this means. It's actually been very ambiguous, in part because we didn't have a competitive general election at all. We know the very broad things Eric Adams has promised, that he's going to improve public safety while continuing to reform the police, for instance. But we don't really know all that granularly what that's going to mean. We're going to see very soon.
The quote that I have from your paper, Harry, the Daily News, said the mayor-elect, I wanted to come tonight to Zero Bond and ask you, can we do something? Yeah. Can we hit reset? Can we hit reset? Can we hit reset with our police and tell them we have their backs? What's the context of reset? Who's he addressing, and what is he imagining happening?
with the police, everyone hates what Bill de Blasio has done. The police reformers think he's done at best a halfway job and he's been a hypocrite. We had riots last summer where the police were just beating people up who were protesting against the police. And Bill de Blasio did everything in his power to not really notice this and not really object on the one hand. On the other hand, the police hate the reforms that de Blasio has boasted about and cheerleaded, many of them, and are deeply suspicious of him and the commissioners he's brought in after Braddon. So there's frustration on all sides. This has been compounded by a new vaccine mandate that has upset a fair number of police officers, although the number who have actually now refused to be vaccinated or apply for medical exemption is very low. It's under 100 and a force of 34,000 so far. So there is, I think, a widespread desire to have some sort of rhetorical reset and to restart these conversations and hopefully get them on a more productive and less contentious footing. And Eric Adams is somebody who was a cop here for two decades, first in the separate transit police that later merged with the NYPD and then with the NYPD, and is a black man from Brooklyn, is maybe rhetorically, at least, again, we'll see in practice, uniquely well-equipped to sort of reset the conversation. And that at least is his goal. Of course, this is much, much easier, you know, to talk about than to do. But he spent a lot of time thinking about being mayor. He's taken himself to mayor school. He's being advised by a lot of people, and he's intending to get that right. He also wants to stop having this, quote, tale of two cities, as de Blasio said. And he's trying to straddle something where he is around the elites and the real estate developers and the Mike Bloombergs of the world and talking with them while promising, like the people of Brooklyn and the other boroughs, the more of the money that these guys generate for the city is going to end up with you. So if he can have a non-contentious relationship with wealth generators while managing to spread more of that wealth, again, he'll be in an incredible political sweet spot, but he has to actually do it, and we're going to see how that goes.
The additional quote, you cross the Washington Bridge and it says, welcome to the Empire State, not welcome to the state that destroys empires. This is a place you build empires. That's clever. Who's he talking about? What's he talking about? The business community? What part of the business community? And is this in contention with Mr. de Blasio in some fashion?
It's meant to be a rhetorical reset or correction. As to specifically what he means, like a few things we can note is he likes rhyming phrases. He likes arch constructions that suggest, you know, we can bear weight with supports on different sides of things. And what all this means in practice, we just generally really don't know. He doesn't have a signature proposal like de Blasio had pre-K. A lot of his rhetoric has been broad and I would say conciliatory in certain ways that he's trying to accomplish two things at once. So in his speech, he simultaneously said, damn right, I talked to gang members, which is something that came up late in the campaign as a small issue through Republican candidate Curtis Slewa. And then two sentences later he said, we need to understand the issues that these guys have. If we could do like, you know, widespread issues, you see how many of these guys have emotional issues, have learning disabilities, have things we can actually help with and screen for. And then two sentences after that, he says, on January 1st, when I'm mayor, this stuff is done. These guns are going away. So he's simultaneously saying there are long-term structural things we need to solve. He likes to say we need to get upstream of problems. Rather than deal with the problems once they're already in the water. And I'm going to deal with this right now and on day one. And those are both useful and meritorious things in a lot of ways. They're not in direct conflict, but it is an awful lot to straddle. He's done a masterful job in the course of this campaign and things broke his way, but now he's going to have to actually do the job. And of course, de Blasio in 2013 received similar praise, like new mayors often do. There's a glow. And his family was the new face of America, like Adams has called himself the new face of the Democratic Party. We will see.
We have other elections that the results are in. And the one I'm reading about is the district attorney for Manhattan. Mr. Bragg is an African-American, but he also is an outspoken critic of the corrections business, of the corrections department, of how criminal justice is prosecuted in New York. Do we expect changes?
We definitely expect changes. Alvin Bragg will be the first black district attorney Manhattan has ever had. He'll be the first district attorney who doesn't come from massive family wealth. In my lifetime and another lifetime before that, he's a former prosecutor at the state level, a very accomplished and interesting guy, and somebody who, you know, right before winning this contest has been in court representing the Garner family, Eric Garner's family, at the special judicial inquiry to track down what really happened. So somebody's about to be the most powerful local prosecutor, or the second most powerful local prosecutor, one of the most powerful local prosecutors. I'm sorry, I'm running through my list. You got the New York AG and then the U.S. attorney, but an incredibly powerful local prosecutor who also, his office generates vast funds because so many giant cases run through Manhattan, who's there advocating for the family of a victim of police violence, has been doing that for years. That's impressive, and it's a very new thing. It's a really big office. It's mostly a criminal oriented office, whereas the attorney general's office he used to work for mostly does civil stuff, and that's a different game. And so we're going to see how he does. But he has an advantage, is we've had this wave of reformers, starting with Ken Thompson in Brooklyn, who then tragically died. Eric Gonzalez became the district attorney, has since won re-election, and is likely going to run for attorney general as Tish James runs for governor, and New York's grand game of musical chairs continues. But other reformers who have created a path for how to do this competently and well and without creating public safety menaces. And I expect Bragg, who's a very intelligent, thoughtful person, you can hear him. We interviewed him the week before this on FAQ.NYC, talked to him a few times there. I think is going to come in with fresh eyes, a lot of competence, and we'll see. But hopefully be able to do good things and build on what the office is doing and reform it where it needs to be. He'll also, of course, inherit this this Trump grand jury. So that will also be very interesting.
I'm speaking with Harry Siegel, a columnist at the New York Daily News, the op-ed editor at the Daily Beast. Harry points to the governor's race. That's immediately at hand because Mayor de Blasio is interested. Letitia James, the attorney general, is interested. The present governor, Ms. Hochul, is interested. So we end one election and we begin immediately the tension around another. Far more important for the whole of the state and the region, the governorship in 2022. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a 1-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.